You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 11 of Been There, Dean That.
We've been there. We deen that.
We deen it and we bean it.
We bean it and yep.
We deen it. We seen it and we deen it and we bean it all. We still have so much to see and so much to do.
So much to bean.
So many beans. But today's episode, we're just going to go back and deen what we've already seen. So we're going to do a quick recap of our trip to Italy.
It was glorious.
We just got back last week. But we have also been to Italy several times before this. And so I just figured we would include all of our Italy destinations in one episode. Just the Italy episode.
I'm going to be honest. Our previous trip was a lot better than this trip. Not that this trip was bad, but that trip was amazing.
Yeah, that's kind of why I decided to just do this with all of our our trips. Well, because we've been three times. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah. We went to Venice and Dolomites.
That's right. So back when Kaylin and I first started dating... In the early days.
We're in like week two, maybe.
Yeah, I remember after I asked her to be my girlfriend on Bachelor in Paradise, I was like, oh, I'm actually going to Spain and Italy for 2 weeks, like tomorrow. And we were still in Mexico. And one of the producers was like, okay, obviously, like, you can't do that. And I was like, well, no, like, I'm meeting friends out there. I have been planning this for months. I have to go. And he's like, okay, well, then just don't be an idiot. Buy Kaylin a plane ticket to come join you.
Would you have not thought of that if the producer didn't tell you?
I probably wouldn't have. I probably would have just gone and been like, I'll see you when I get back. Don't do anything stupid.
Shout out to Bill.
No, it was Todd, I believe.
Wow, shocking.
Yeah, so Todd was like, don't be an idiot. Just take her to Europe with you. And I was like, oh, fine, I guess that's probably the best. No, I was like, well, it was a guy's trip. And I just didn't think of it. And so I was like, you know, in the mindset and mode for a trip with my guys. We did a couple things in Spain.
It was not a guy's trip because he brought his girlfriend, Jason.
Yeah.
Remember?
But he was
remember
like...
Remember that car ride?
I do remember that car ride. But he wasn't like the... I wasn't going with him. He just happened to be there at the same time. And so we met up with him. Mm. I was going with like Justice and all his friends. Oh. Remember all those guys from Pamplona?
Kentucky folk.
Yeah. And so and then I was meeting up with Chad in Italy later on.
Anyways.
Yeah, so thank you, Todd, for convincing me to buy Kaylin a plane ticket. It's crazy to buy a girlfriend you've been dating for 2 days a $900 plane ticket to Europe.
Worth it.
For who? For you?
You.
For you, obviously. Way for more worth you. It. So what did we do? We flew into Venice and what did you think of Venice? Let's start there. How did you like Venice, Italy?
I haven't traveled as much as Dean, but the more I travel, the more I realize like the places that are super hyped up, places like Venice and Paris, are never the ones that I'm like, I end up being the most excited about.
You love Paris though.
I do not like Paris, but like Venice was cool. It's just, it's hard going to a place that is so touristy because it's exactly that. It is so touristy. You're not getting like super authentic food, you know?
It's, and everything's it's overpriced.
Overpriced. It's catered to Americans or tourists in general. So Venice is fine. It's beautiful, but it's not my favorite city in Italy.
And at the time, though, you were in love with it.
Was I?
Yeah, you were like wide-eyed little girl, first time overseas.
That was not my first time.
You have this great new boyfriend that's willing to show you the world. I can show you the world.
Yeah.
And you took my hand and jumped on my magic carpet, a.k.a. my mustache.
Mm-hmm. It was gone then.
And then, yeah.
The rest is history.
So what did you think of Venice, though? Let's go through Venice real quick. What was your highlight of Venice?
Highlight. It's gorgeous. I think getting to see it and you're just kind of on the water. It's a little stinky, but it's beautiful.
It's a little stinky. That water gets a little gross.
Yeah, but it's really cool. And I don't know if that will ever go back, but there are places that we miss, like really cool restaurants that are just overlooking the water. Like there's one that's a little keyhole or archway, and it's just you and that person like sitting there on the water. It looks very intimate and cute. I showed it to you recently.
But we didn't do that.
We didn't. So there's like little parts that maybe we miss, but also that little boat ride we took into that other town. I really liked that.
Yeah. I actually was just looking up on all the places we visited in Italy, and I totally forgot about that.
Starts with an S, right?
Anyways, yeah, we took a ferry over to a small island. Highly recommend. That was a good day because you get to get out and see it. I believe the island is called Murano, if I'm not mistaken.
I found it.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe that's what the island is called through my diligent research. But yeah, all in all, Venice was, it's cool to see and go and say that you've gone, but I don't know if I would necessarily go back to it.
Here's the thing. We have been so spoiled going north to south and hitting like the major spots that was my first time in Italy, and I had a great time. But then going to other spots, I'm like, oh, there are like so many cooler cities.
Yeah.
But when you think of Italy, I think the most popular destinations are Venice,
Rome,
Sicily, maybe.
Sure.
I don't know. But I love other cities that we'll get to.
Yeah, so let's just move on from Venice. If you have the chance to see Venice, go and spend maybe 2 or 3 days. I would say 3 days tops. 2 days is probably a good amount of time. Just walk around and do a gondola ride, eat some food.
We did do a gondola ride.
I don't think that we did.
We did one in Vegas.
That was nice. It was kind of like we were in Italy,
yeah,
in Venice. But yeah, 2 days, 3 days tops. It's a cool city. We're not like big museum goers. I think if maybe if we were more museum-y, we would probably like it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But fast forward a couple years, maybe 2 or 3 years, we then wanted to do a trip out there for some reason. You got a deal with the Hotel Oriental, Mandarin Oriental in Lake Como.
I think I was just reaching out to hotels and they said yes. And so I was like, I've always wanted to go to Lake Como. So that's why we went out there, I think.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly why. I think maybe our friend invited us or we just happened to be out there at the same time.
Yeah, we were just out there and we didn't buy return flights. And so we were just out there and we didn't have a plan. So we flew into Lake Como.
Yeah, we flew into Milan.
Milan.
And then we rented a car and drove up to Lake Como. And Lake Como is maybe one of the coolest towns I've been to in a long time, in my entire life.
I do wish we spent more time there because there's so many spots to see. There's like one little like beautiful hotel that everyone goes to. And also they shot Star Wars there. Like, oh, yeah, a bunch of spots that we didn't get to go to. So I'd love to go back.
But I still feel like we saw a lot. Like we got that classic Alfa Romeo car and got to drive that around. Ran out of gas. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That was a fun little car. It was like a 1960s coupe convertible that was just like fun to bounce around on.
Yeah, that was really cool. If you have the chance to rent a classic car, it just felt like we were in the 50s.
Yeah. And
Marilyn Monroe and James Dean.
What else did we do? Yeah, I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy. What else did we do? And then we went, we took a speedboat out for like 4 hours. That was fun.
Yeah, it was really fun because they didn't have a driver and they were like, you've driven a boat before, Dean, right? And Dean's like, yeah. Dean had never driven a boat before.
I had like taken over the reins from the driver of a boat, like while we're already out in the middle
of
the water.
But never like docked or done, you know, yeah, all those things. Yeah. So it was cool to like a full private experience. And normally private boat experiences include a boat driver, but it was fully private.
I'll take free range any day of the week. If you give me the option of doing it myself or having someone else do it for us, I'll do it myself every single time. Even if I don't know how. I know how to drive a boat in theory. I guess I've never actually like practiced. So that's why I was kind of like, yeah, I can totally drive this boat. But then they're like, okay, cool. Here are the keys. Bring it back before 5. I was like, oh, really? Okay, great. See ya. And there weren't really any incidents, thankfully.
Yeah, it's more so just understanding other boats, I guess.
Yeah, which is what I was telling you the whole time.
So what I learned from you.
You were all, so who knows if it's actually real or not. You were like freaking out the whole time, and I was like, just relax.
I'm so sorry. What?
Let me just
How was I freaking out?
Let me have my moment.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
How was I freaking out?
You're a little scared girl.
No.
You're going too fast. You're getting too close to boats, which I wasn't. But no, okay, maybe that's not true. But anyways, it was fun. We rode the boat over to, remember that like little bridge with the waterfall in the back?
Oh yeah, that was gorgeous.
So beautiful.
That's the only time I freaked out was because you told me to drive the boat and I didn't know how to drive the boat.
Yeah, I wanted to do a dive off the boat in front of the waterfall while Kaylin took a picture, but there's only two of us on the boat. So I had to jump off the boat, make sure that she knew enough about the boat to not let it like get away too far, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also like take the picture and run back into the seat. So it was a lot of work, a lot of coordination involved, but we got it done. We did it. So we were in Lake Como in September 2021. Mm. And the weather, I remember the weather being basically perfect.
Yeah, it was pretty warm. And it was shoulder season, which I loved. So that's what I don't like. I don't like big crowds. I don't like a ton of tourists around. And shoulder season was great because it felt pretty empty.
And I do want to mention real quick, we flew into Milan. I know I already mentioned that, but we were driving up. It was like a late flight we landed at, and then we had like a 3-hour drive or something like that.
We're so hungry.
You know what I was going to talk about. We stopped at this like trucker stop, and we, you know, our first time in Italy since the last time we were there, which is like 2 or 3 years before that. And we just stopped at this trucker stop just hoping to get like some chips or something, but they were serving like food, like real food, like pizza and pasta and stuff. And we got pizza and pasta, and it was some of the best, to this day, some of the best pizza and pasta.
Best wine, best pizza. It was so good. And I was like, wow, starting off on a high.
Yeah, some random truck stop. We couldn't have spent more than like $12 total for
a couple
plates of food.
It was awesome.
And you had some wine. I didn't because I was driving.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, Lake Como was awesome. I definitely highly recommend it. If you're thinking about it, it exceeded expectations. I believe you, after going there, you said you wanted to get married there.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like we were really considering it, but then we had to take into consideration our families and how expensive it would be to have them out there, like where they would stay. It's very pricey. I'm happy, obviously, with where we ended up, but yeah, I was just so in love with it. And I was talking to the Mandarin Oriental, and we stayed at this little like side house, and they were like, this is usually where the bride gets ready. You can have your whole family stay here. And I'm like, yeah, if it's free, but otherwise there's no way we can afford this. It was so gorgeous.
Yeah. And like, not only is it expensive there, but just getting there is expensive.
Yeah.
So it was probably for the best that we didn't get married there, although it would have been amazing. And if you have the chance, check it out.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
So then from Lake Como, we drove to the Dolomites, which is some of the craziest mountains I've personally ever seen. It's kind of reminiscent to me of like the Tetons of Europe.
Hmm.
What do you think about that?
I guess so. Are the Tetons that crazy?
Yeah. Well, you've seen the Tetons.
Yeah, but are they that crazy?
The Tetons are very crazy. The most, in my opinion, the most scenic mountain range I've ever seen in my entire life. The Dolomites are just maybe a little bit bigger than the Tetons. The Tetons
they're so big because it's Italy, France, and Switzerland, right?
Yeah, yep.
If my geography's correct.
Yeah, it's close enough if it's wrong. I would agree with that.
But it's like, it's so big. You've got the Swiss Alps, you've got the Dolomites.
Yeah.
The Italian Alps. Why don't people say the Italian Alps?
They do.
Oh.
I think the people are just more used to hearing the Swiss Alps.
And it's just, it's vast. It's so I just think it's so much grander than the Tetons. I think the Tetons are gorgeous and amazing, but it's hard to compare because it's so big.
Yeah. Okay. Let's say this then. It's like the Tetons. If the Tetons and the Rocky Mountains had a baby, it would be the Dolomites.
Yeah.
Do you know what the Rocky Mountains are?
We're in them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, so two small parents make a big parent?
No, the Rockies are bigger than the Dolomites, guaranteed.
Hmm.
Yeah, so the Dolomites, we stayed at Hotel Hubris. Do you remember that hotel? Mm-hmm. Very cool hotel.
Very cool. And they're always, we talked to, I think it was the owner of the hotel. And he's like, we're always trying to create something new, do something new. Because they have this huge, huge long pool overlooking the Dolomites. And it's that, absolutely gorgeous.
It like jets out. So there's like nothing above it, nothing below it.
Yeah. And you can see the bottom. It's beautiful. And so then he's like, we're working on a dual sauna. And so it's called like Heaven and Hell. So they have that now. I'm excited to see what they do next because it's a super cool hotel.
Yeah.
And it's very Swiss and German inspired, I feel like.
Yeah, probably.
Well, the food.
Yeah. I just remember going to like the, because it was fall, early fall, I guess, or late summer. I'm not really sure what the seasons are there, or not there, but just in general, like when one starts and one ends. And so we went up onto the ski resort and some of those, like the chalets were open. And so we got, I remember just eating there a bunch.
Yeah.
And that was good. I really liked that place a lot. Hubis was great. I've always, since going there in September, I've wanted to return in the winter and get a ski out there, but I haven't had the chance to yet. So hopefully one day I'll have the ability to do that.
That we went to another hotel after, and this hotel, if you ever want to experience what it's like to be an influencer, check this hotel out.
Well, why don't you get ahead of yourself a little bit more?
Well, this was our next stop at the Dolomites.
I know, but we haven't finished talking about Hotel Hubris.
I thought we did.
Okay, we're done now. Let's move on to the next one.
What's that one called?
Do you remember the name?
Nope.
Chalet Alphos.
Yep.
So we drove from the Dolomites, where Hotel Hubris was, to another place in the Dolomites. I think the town is Vermiglio, something like that. And it's a little closer to the border. Chalet Alphos, yes, it is influencer heaven. They set out like these insane like placements of like the food, and they have every little nook and cranny is kind of devoted to like getting cool pictures or like spoiling your partner.
Very, very romantic. And you don't have to be an influencer to go. Obviously, you can set up these little fun excursions. You can eat breakfast with alpacas, and the alpacas love flower petals, so they'll just kind of eat the flower petals off your table. Like you can do a hot tub at night with the little cute chalet cheese board.
Yeah.
Floating chalet cheese board. Right. What else? Like they've got different cabins, and same with them. They're always trying to do more and as much as they can.
Yeah. Our friends just went and did a lot of the same stuff we did, but also the new stuff that they've added.
More, yeah.
The only gripe I have with Chalet Alphos is it just felt really gluttonous to me. Like it felt like they, like I hate posting stuff like that because it just kind of makes me feel like I'm showing off in a way. And it is very like showy offy.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because a lot of influencers go, so they do every single thing that they have to offer, versus I think if someone who's not an influencer goes and they're just doing romantic things for their partner would be different.
True. And then one day, I just want to mention this real quick. I did a Via Ferrata over there at Ponte di Legno. Gosh, I just am so bad at pronouncing these. I did a China episode last week, and I was trying to pronounce a lot of the Chinese names. And I got a couple DMs of like people being like, you are going to confuse so many people because you're saying the word, and it doesn't sound anything like it's supposed to sound.
Oh, really?
And so I feel really bad about that. But Italian is kind of the same, like... Vermiglio. Is it Vermiglio? Vermiglio? I feel like it's Vermiglio, but it looks like Vermiglio. It's not phonetic, probably. But anyways, Ponte di Legno, Ponte di Legno, so whatever it is this cool Via Ferrata. Kaylin stayed back. I did a YouTube documentary style version of it. I was wearing my Tevas, and I showed up to the ticket office because you take like a gondola to the top or as far up the mountain as you can, and then you start hiking from there. And I was like, hey, I'd like one ticket for the gondola. I want to do the Via Ferrata, please. And she was like, oh yeah, where's your guide or where's your partner? I was like, oh, I'm just doing it myself. And she was like, looked me up and down, saw my flip-flops. She's like, you're doing it in sandals? And I was like, yeah, didn't look too hard from what I saw online. And she goes, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. You're doing it in sandals. And I was like, just give me the ticket. I'm gonna be fine. Just give me the ticket. If something happens, I'm sorry, but I don't think that's anything bad's gonna happen. And it was a fun experience. I will say it was like probably not for the faint of heart. Kaylin would have been able to do it, but she would have definitely been scared. I saw a lot of other people with like ropes and harnesses and helmets and climbing gear. And I passed every single one of them in my sandals. And there's no more satisfying feeling in the world than passing a group that's like totally decked out in like safety equipment. And you're just wearing sandals, not really giving a crap about anything. I know that sounds so foolish, and it's like probably so childish for me to say, but it is a cool feeling, I think. And they're like, whoa, what is this guy doing? And you're like, yeah, you know?
I mean, I don't know from experience. No, I'm a safety girl.
It's so silly. It's such an egotistical thing to say, but it's so true. It's just, I don't even know how to explain it properly. But when people like look at you and they're like, this guy's either an idiot or a badass. That's exactly how I want everyone to look at me. Either stupid or badass. I'll take that. And that took a couple hours. I can't remember how many miles it was, but I would say it probably took like 8 or 9 hours start to finish.
Yeah, you were gone all day.
And then Chalet au Fosse, we left there. We went to Tuscany to meet up with Chad and some other friends. Mm-hmm. You loved Tuscany.
I love Tuscany. It's my favorite place. I love Lake Como. Tuscany is number one for me, and Lake Como is number two. It's so beautiful, and I think for me, it's crowds and just feeling like there's a lot of space around you. There's so much space. Again, it was shoulder season, but very few people. I just don't like being surrounded like a sardine around people, you know?
Yeah. Hey, so you're preaching to the choir here. I hate that as well. We met up with them the first or second night. They were already there, and they had an Airbnb at like this old castle kind of thing.
Really creepy.
Really creepy. The electricity like barely worked, or no, the electricity
shower
worked, but
didn't
like
really work.
Yeah, the shower didn't work. There's only like one light in every big room, and so like it didn't really cast enough light to really light up the space.
Yeah.
And yeah, you had to like go through a bunch of like long hallways to get to your room. It was cool, but it was a unique experience for sure.
It was cool. We played Uno until 3 a.m loser had to jump in the freezing pool,
and Kaylin surprisingly lost and did it.
Yep.
I was shocked. I not in a million years would have thought you would have done that.
Same. I still can't believe I did that.
Did you do it again?
Yeah.
Nice. Good for you. That's awesome. Even going into town, I remember their crowds weren't that big.
Yeah, we went to this really cool town center. And I think that's my biggest thing. Maybe since COVID, I just need space.
Yeah.
I need people not to be so close to me.
Give yourself space, and then give yourself the option to go into this city if you want to, mm-hmm. and like get some people, get your time filled with that, and then go back to your like own solitude.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're catching on. You're catching on to this whole traveling thing. Mm-hmm. I respect that.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts,
Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery. But that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What else did we do while we were in Tuscany? I feel like we did.
We went to the most beautiful hotel.
That's what it was. The hotel. Yeah. So it was our friend's mom's birthday. It was
Sophie's birthday.
Yeah. So they all pitched in and got like this nice suite at the Belmond in Tuscany. And we like showed up without a reservation or anything. And we're like, yeah, we'll just get a room for the night. Haha, no big deal. And we go to like check in and we ask them if they have any availability. And they're like, yeah, we only have suites available right now. And so we were like,
bungalow suite.
And we were like, crap. But that's what they got, but they were splitting it like four ways, and then so we didn't want to like.
We've never spent so much money on a hotel.
No, we didn't. We've never had.
We never will again.
I never will again either. I think it was like $2,000 or something like
that. It was, and it was nice, but
for one night though, and it was nice. I'm glad we did it, but I don't think I can't say I wouldn't do it again because time and situation kind of really depends on that, but.
It was also like, not that they were pressuring us, but like knowing your friends are behind you, they're staying there, and they're just kind of watching you, and you're like. Shoot, do I put my credit card down or do I say we'll find something cheaper? Not that they would have judged us, but no, it was a little pressure.
Yeah. But I'm glad we succumbed to the pressure because we had a great meal. We took a cooking class.
Oh my gosh. One of the best meals ever. I don't eat red meat, but I had a little bit of the red meat that they cooked and it was unbelievable. We made three different types of pasta, I think. Gnocchi and two others. It was so good.
So good. So if you have the chance to stay at Belmont for whatever reason, just enjoy it because
don't pass it up.
It was maybe the best hotel experience I've ever had, top five at the very least. Mm-hmm. So from Tuscany, they went down to Sorrento, which is like Amalfi Coast kind of. But we drove, they took the train. And so we stopped at Manciano. Do you remember that?
No.
The hot spring?
Oh, yeah.
I saw one of my friends that was in Italy before go to this crazy looking hot spring in the middle of kind of nowhere, Italy, like on the central western coast, sort of. And since we were driving through, I figured we might as well go anyways, just to check it out. It was a bit of a detour, a few hours, but I love doing that. I love like taking a couple hours to go off and see something that you wouldn't really have the chance to see otherwise. We got there at like 5:30 in the morning, right? Because we got there the night before at like 5 p.m. and the crowd was insane. So many people. And so I was like, screw this. We're just going to get a hotel right nearby and then we'll come back at 5 in the morning. Like hopefully when it's empty and we can, you know, fly the drone and take photos and everything. Mm-hmm. And we came back at 5 a.m. the next day, and it was, there was still like a couple dozen people around. Like, it was still more crowded than it should have been for that time of day.
I was surprised. It really, and it fills up so fast. We got there for sunrise. We were there maybe 20, 30 minutes, and then it was full by the time we left.
Yeah. And like you said, we don't like being around people, so we got out of there as soon as we could when the people...
It's just weird to be in a hot spring with a bunch of other strangers.
Is it?
I don't know. I don't want to be swimming around with strangers.
Have you been to a pool or an ocean or a beach?
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, but a small pool? I don't know. You're right.
I'm right. But yeah, no, that was fun. It was a fun little detour. And then eventually we made it down to Sorrento. And so for those of you at home that are keeping track, we started in Lake Como and we ended in Sorrento. That's a total of 900 kilometers, which is roughly, I want to say 600 miles, a little more than 600 miles. Which is pretty far.
Really far. Dean drove the whole time.
I did, because it was a stick shift and you haven't learned how to drive one of those yet. I wonder what like the American equivalent of 600 miles is. It's probably like...
Here to Vegas?
Yeah, Denver to Las Vegas, maybe. Let's check this real quick, because we in America... Italy's a bigger country than you realize, especially north to south. Width-wise, it's not the widest, but it's a long boot. No, don't worry about looking. It's okay. But yeah, so we drove 600-ish miles over the course of a week and a half or 2 weeks. I can't remember what it is. Yeah, it is basically from Denver to Vegas is a little bit longer by 40 miles. So
I'm so smart.
You're so smart. So we got to Sorrento to meet our friends. Do you remember the hotel that we stayed at there?
Sorrento. Oh no, but it was really cute.
Yeah, it was really cute. It was called the Maya Beach Experience. Mm-hmm. And it was nice. Our friend's friend did all of the linen for the hotel, so they got a deal. I don't remember if we did or not. I think we did.
We did.
And it was nice. It was really nice, like little cove that you kind of stay in. The thing I didn't like about my beach house was you can't get in and out of it easily.
That sounded like you said my beach house. The thing I didn't like about my beach house.
My beach house.
I agree. Hotels like that are tough because you go down this really windy, windy road.
Very steep.
Very steep. And so you can't walk out of it. You have to drive. And it's not easy to get in and out of to a town.
I like being away from the town, but at least being able to access it easier.
Easier, yeah.
That one, like there are so many tight curves. You have to like, if a car's coming down, then you have to like get to the side or reverse downhill so they can get by you. Like it's a lot of work to get up and out, you know? As opposed to just like driving up a hill regularly.
Yeah.
So we were there. We went to the town for dinner one night and ate on the water. Had this nice little seafood restaurant. You remember that? Mm-hmm. It was like kind of on a boat, but it wasn't a boat.
Yeah. I remember. And the woman when we left gave us all these like good luck charms. Like St. Charles or something charms.
Yeah, that's right. And then.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, I still don't even really know what you're talking about, to be honest. But I'm just going with it. And then I left for Alaska and you went with them to Amalfi, which was probably pretty fun.
Yeah, Amalfi is only like 30 minutes away, I believe. I think we just took a cab to Amalfi, and again, it was Sophie's birthday. So she rented this beautiful Airbnb like right on the water, like on the hill, but still you could see the water from your room. Very beautiful. Amalfi was great. But it's the same thing I've been saying. It's very busy. Amalfi's another one that people are obsessed with.
But it's beautiful, right?
So beautiful.
I remember driving into Sorrento, because I didn't go to Amalfi, so I can't speak for that. But you like come in, especially from north to south, you come in around this bend, and then like you're on like this huge cliffside that kind of like coves around, and then Sorrento's on the far side. So you're like looking over this cove or these cliffs at this city that's kind of like perched above the cliffs along the water. It is maybe one of the most picturesque like little towns I've ever driven through or to in my entire life.
So gorgeous. There's a town neighboring it, Amalfi, that I liked a little bit more. I think I just like quaintness, you know? But it was still, Amalfi was just so beautiful and so gorgeous. That one was, for being shoulder season, was still very busy.
Amalfi was?
Yeah, and it's also become one of those influencer-centric places.
Yeah. Did you guys go to Capri? Didn't you take a boat to an island or something?
I left the day before they went to Capri, which is a bummer.
Darn, that stinks. And then let's fast forward now to this trip that we just got back from. So we flew into Rome. We were in Rome for a couple days, and we stayed downtown at a hotel called?
Omita 36.
Ultima 36.
Omita. Omalita. Omalita.
Ultima.
No.
Ultima.
Umalita.
All right. You can put either of those in. I'm sure it'll pop up. Great little hotel, pretty well located. Rome is great because I typically love to rent cars wherever we go. Rome is a place where it's nice to not have a car. So we took a taxi from the airport to the hotel, and then we just kind of walked around from there wherever we wanted to go. And they have like a bunch of Lime and scooters and stuff that you can just hop on if you wanted to. Forewarning, though.
Scooter.
Forewarning, there's a lot of cobblestone roads, and those scooters don't have very good suspension, so it's very bumpy.
My brain was jiggled.
Yes, Kaylin jiggled her brain, and she's never been the same ever since. the hotel was great. We walked to the Trevi Fountain. We had our Lizzie McGuire dreams come true. We walked to the Coliseum. I had my Gladiator dreams come true. We walked to a couple other landmarks that are escaping my brain right now. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of stayed near our hotel, ate some good food, went antique shopping. I'm staring at one of my souvenirs right now. It's about a 2 foot tall dog holding a stopwatch. My favorite thing. One of my favorite things I've ever bought overseas. Kaylin almost didn't want me to get it.
Almost.
I said, she's like, what price does it have to be for you to get it? And I said, if it's over $100, I'm not going to get it. And it was $95.
Which is surprising. Okay, that's something about Italy. Their prices are so fair. And it's so it makes me frustrated about America. This antique shop we went to, all of the prices were so incredibly fair. And I feel like antique shops in America, they just jack them up and call them vintage, even if they're not vintage. But even in the airport, the prices were so cheap. I'm not over it.
It's like $2 for a soda, which is in America, it's like $5 for that same soda.
Well, in an airport, it's 10.
You say that, but you're I understand you're exaggerating to prove your point, but you're going a little too far.
Eight minimum.
You're escaping the realm of reality and going into this.
What? $5 soda. Oh, we were just at the airport. I had to buy an aluminum bottle of water. $11.
I guess if you're saying that you bought an $11 bottle of wine or bottle of water, I can't argue that. But do you promise? Look me in the eyes.
It was actually 12.
Shut up. Was it really? Yes. Do you promise?
Yes. I promise.
At LAX?
Yes.
That's insane. It's getting out of hand.
I know.
But you buy that same bottle of water 100 feet before you pass through security and it's $3. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how it's so frustrating. But yeah, fairly priced. I will say it, even in the big cities, it's the pricing is fine. Every meal was still kind of expensive. But like, yeah. I'm sure you get out of the cities and what was that?
It's recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
You get out of the cities and it gets way cheaper, which is nice in my opinion. So yeah, so Rome, Hotel Ultima or Olmita, depending on who you're talking to, depending on who you're asking. Great place to stay. And then we went to the train station, hopped on a train, went to Florence. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of Florence?
First, the train station was great. They've got the train station in Rome has this little lounge, super nice. And they've got great guards that will help you and get your tickets.
Great guards?
Great gate guards? Great employees. But yeah, I loved the train station. It was so, so easy. And it was about a 2 hour and a half train ride.
1 hour 45.
Yeah. Super easy. And then we get to Florence. We rented a car. Driving around the town of Florence was so chaotic. I was so stressed in the passenger seat. But then we went to our hotel, which was,
I can't remember the name of it, but it was also similar to that hotel that we were talking about when we stayed in Tuscany. It was like an old castle, but it was like just a home for a family that then they donated to a school that then they turned into a hotel.
Someone DM'd me and said that her mom went to school there and then they went there for their honeymoon, which is pretty cool.
That's crazy. It was a beautiful setting up on a hill, kind of overlooking the city, but it just was a little dated in terms of like comfortability standards, mm-hmm. I guess. Like the heating wasn't really working as it was supposed to. The mosquitoes kept coming in. It wasn't nice, but it was a cool experience, I guess, is what
you say. Yeah. The mosquitoes really did it for us. We got eaten alive and it was a little brutal.
Yeah, the mosquitoes were not fun. But Florence is a cool city. We were just like weirdly so jet lagged this entire trip, I think.
I don't even know if I could call it jet lag. We were just like so lethargic and just not motivated to do anything.
That sounds like jet lag to me.
No, but it wasn't. I've had jet lag before. It didn't feel like jet lag. We were just like not motivated. I think that's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. We were both in this weird place in Florence. So we'd go out a little bit here and there. We went to the town. We went to the wine window, which it's cool. But then you're like, oh, I just got a glass of wine.
Which I could do anywhere else.
Which I could just go inside and make their jobs easier. Yeah. Yeah, but I did read up on the wine windows, and they date back to the 1600s, which is crazy, and they only recently opened them back up. So that little factoid I thought was cool.
Fun factoid. We also took the car up to the Leaning Tower of Pisa,
mm-hmm.
which
could
was
have,
cool.
Could have gone without going there.
It was a long drive. It was maybe, an hour and a half?
Yeah. Also, it's hard. I think maybe this is part of our lack of motivation. The weather kind of sucked. Like, it was so gloomy. It was cold. There was one day where it was nice and sunny.
Yeah.
But in Pisa, it was pretty cold and chilly and gloomy. And it just, it's cool to see. Then you see it and it's like, okay, now we go home?
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't really enough up there for us to stay and do, especially when you have another hour and a half drive ahead of you.
But the person we rented the car from, we rented from Sixt, and she wrote out a bunch of places. I don't think she realized how short our trip was, because every place she put was an hour and a half away, all in different directions. But there were really, really cool spots, like this cool farm an hour and a half away. So we just didn't have enough time to go see the cool spots.
Yeah, but it was still a good trip. Italy's great. We'll probably be back at some point in our lives. Like we said, Como, Dolomites, and Tuscany are probably my top three favorites. Mm-hmm. But I would happily return to basically anywhere in that country, if you ask me, in most cases. It's hard because I'm getting to the point where I just don't want to leave our dog behind. I like our house in Colorado. I don't want to leave that. But Italy's great. It's you get the modern comforts that you're used to. You get cool, great food that you can eat a bunch of, because it's not really quite as processed as it would be in America. You get delicious wine, and you get a lot of history, and it's just a great, great country.
Great country.
But that's going to do it for this week's episode of Been There, Dean That. Thank you guys so much for coming to Italy with us. I really appreciate it. I hope you tune in next week, where maybe we suck just a little bit less.
Woo.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtime's a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.